Good to have all of you here this morning. Thank you for coming. As we assemble together to worship the Lord today, what an honor it is to be in His house, to be among His presence. We will be nothing without His presence, and I thank Him for that today. I want you to turn to a probably familiar scripture to you in Matthew chapter 15, but it's a side of Jesus that when you read it, it just don't seem quite like Him. His demeanor and how He treats people different when this situation here, and in order to understand this situation, I had to go back and do some research and go back into the history, because history helps us understand present. How many of you know that? History, sometimes the culture of history helps us understand our culture today. So I've always been a little puzzled with this scripture, because we know that God loves us all, He cares about us all, but when you read this scripture, it's almost like He don't even really care what's going on with this lady. But we know that's not true. We find that not to be true as we learn more about Him. So look at Matthew chapter 15. Verse 21 said, and then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, when I begin to study the regions of Tyre and Sidon, I begin to understand why He acted like He did. How many of you know that everything God does, He's more interested in us learning. It's not a matter if He's going to take care of us or not. We know that, even though at times when we're going through things, God, where are you? You've left me and all that. But that's not about Him. His character and His personality and who He is does not change. Isn't that wonderful? But when you understand the region of where He's going to now, you'll understand more what happened. So let's get into it. It said, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Now, why do you call her a woman of Canaan? That's going to be important. We'll understand that in just a little while. And she cried unto Him, having mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, thy son of David is very critical right here. You got to understand, Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Jew. And He's speaking here to a woman of Canaan, which was a Gentile. So the culture is totally different. I want you to understand, the culture that we are a part of today makes it hard sometimes to understand what God is doing. Does that make sense? Hang on with me. Don't lose me yet. She cries unto Him, says, O son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And here's the part that I never understood till I got into the depth of His word. He said, but He answered her not a word. Does that sound like Him? But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came. Now, he had a ragged bunch that hung around with Him called disciples. And He was continually having to deal with them. And they said, yeah, let's just get rid of her. Friends like that, you don't need no enemies, right? He said, and look what he said here. It says, but he answered not a word, and the disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. The woman's got a tremendous need. She's calling on Jesus, but the culture says, just go somewhere else. All right, and it appears that Jesus really don't care. It appears that way. And I want to tell you, as you go through things in life, the enemy will always present circumstances and situations and people who will make you think he really don't care about you. But I want to go ahead and declare right now, first and foremost, that is a lie from the pit. We enjoyed our communion this morning, and we celebrate how He gave His life for us. So if you ever think that the enemy don't care, or that God don't care anything about you, understand that He gave His life. And the Bible says, what greater love than this, than a man give his life for his friends? I never had a friend. I got some great friends, but I don't think nobody can compare to Jesus. Right? So here's the situation. This woman's daughter is vexed with the devil. Now, vexed meaning this devil has made her sick. This devil has just really destroyed her life. Okay. And he answered not a word. His disciples came and said, send her away. She cries after us. But he answered and said, now he's talking to the disciples right now, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now when you understand that, you got to go back into history and really understand what he's talking about there. But there had to be a change of mindset. Because Jews felt like that they were predominant with God. Gentiles felt like they were a bunch of dogs and they were just thrown away. And how many of you know Jesus came to close the gap up? Jesus came to let us all know that whosoever will believe in him, you can come to him. Amen? It doesn't matter what side of the track you were born. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter anything about that. Whosoever will can come to him. But the culture now is so thick and so tumultuous that it just there's such a division. And the enemy loves division. He wants you to think that you're not good enough to be in the presence of God. But you're already in the presence of God because he's everywhere. Amen. He's an awesome God. He loves you even when you don't even feel like you're lovable. Okay? So, boy, the more I get into this, the more I see there's just tension in the air and disciples are, you know, they're just going crazy. And here's a woman with a need. Her daughter is sick. I need help. And Jesus stops here to make a visual of what's going on. He says, he answered not a word. He told the disciples, I'm not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Now, do you think she got his attention when she began to worship him? He says, she worshiped him. I like this. Saying, Lord, help me. And look what he said. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, now this is awesome right here. It almost feels like that he's got sort of an attitude, but what he's doing, you got to understand, Jesus was a master teacher. See, there are teachers and then there are master teachers. A teacher has to have a curriculum. They have to have, you know, all the lesson plan and all this stuff. But a master teacher will take the moment and teach. And Jesus was taking the attitude of the culture right here, and he was about to minister. All right? He says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is your faith. She gets his attention right there. If you may, I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to cook, and ain't no better way to say it. But I got enough knowledge to know that if you got a loaf of bread, whatever it takes to make that loaf of bread, even if you get a crumb out of that loaf of bread, you got whatever the bread's got. So I want to talk about this morning, a crumb is enough. A crumb is enough. And he said, great is your faith. Look what he says here. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And look at the next part. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Awesome. Now, again, I want you to understand, I don't know how far I'll get today because I don't want to make it complicated because it took me a little while to understand. But the onset, Jesus creates culture. We're living in a culture. Our society now is a culture. But to understand what's really going on, because Jesus doesn't normally go around calling people a dog, but there's something he wants us to learn from that. There's always been, from the beginning of time, an animosity between Jews and Gentiles. In God's eye, there's always been two classes of people. Now, our viewpoint, we classify people as Caucasian, African American, you know, all the different Hispanic, we classify them. But in God's eyes, there's only two people. But they're here in the Bible days. They were classified. There were three types of people involved in these two classifications. Number one was, of course, a Jew, which the Jewish mother, they were from a Jewish mother and had been circumcised on the eighth day and all that stuff that's involved in that. So there was a Jew. Then there was the Gentile. Now the Gentile was the one with the Roman background, and they were more carnal. They were called pagans. You remember that as you study your word, you know, you hear the word pagans, and a lot of them didn't believe in God, so that was that culture there. And then there were proselytes who had a Greek background, but yet we would call them converts, because these were ones who actually believed in God, the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham, and all that. They believed that. Now, why do the Jews, or did the Jews, despise Gentiles so much? Well, in order to understand this culture, and I want you to keep in mind, Jesus was a master teacher. He's using this moment to prove to the disciples and the whole world that whosoever will can come. And you know what? I want to stop right here and just give him a shout of praise, because I'm so glad that he didn't look at me and begin to analyze me, because you know what? I'm not worthy to receive anything he's got. Amen? I like what they said this morning about the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, he washes us. He cleanses us. He makes us. He loves us enough that he makes us a part of his kingdom. But we're not worthy of it. But why does a Jew despise a Gentile so much? So to understand that, I said, Lord, I really want to understand this. So my table is full of books and everything, and I just wanted to read. How many of you know when you're researching, sometimes you can go too far because you get confused? But here's what I come up with. Gentiles were considered very corrupt. They were pagan, idol worshipers, that kind of thing. In 587 BC, the Jews were taken captive by the Babylonians for 70 years. Those of you that study the word, you know that. So I want you to begin the culture, the mindset of what's going on in their lives. They were taken captive for 70 years. During that time, the temple was burnt down. They were ridiculed. All the temple's treasures were sold. So everything that was sacred to them was taken away, stolen. And the Jews were led away in Babylonian captivity in chains, the Jews. And they were hated. They hated the Gentiles because of this. Now I'm going to try to go slow because I want you to get this, because it's important that you understand this history. In other words, Satan, as he always does, was invading the culture with division. So there's hatred there. In 165 BC, there was Antiochus, a guy by the name of Antiochus. He came in. He was a leader. He was a ruler. He defiled the temple. You know what he did? He put a pig on the altar. That was a total defilement of the temple there. And he refused Jews to be circumcised. He refused to honor their Sabbath day. And for 3.5 years, Antiochus is his name. He's a ruler. And it said there that he was a picture of the Antichrist, of how it's going to be today. That's amazing to me when I read that. But anyhow, for 3.5 years, he tried to destroy their culture. So keep in mind, this is what's going on. Everything they had has been ruined. It's been destroyed. It's been sold out from under them, almost as if they're not a people. In 6 BC, the Romans come in. They mandate in Judea. They occupy. They take over. So they're losing. The Romans come in and the Jews are losing ground. Somewhere between 4 BC and 2 BC, somewhere in there, and I hope I'm not boring you with this, but I'm laying a foundation. Herod, you remember him, King Herod. He comes in and he sends in his Roman soldiers. And you know, you remember what he did? They killed all the infants. They tried to kill all the infants 2 years of age and under. Do you see what's going on? Do you see how they're feeling? Do you see how the Jews are feeling? Everything we got, is taken away. The enemy loves division. All right? They just come in and they steal. They defile. That's the word that I want you to get this morning. They come in, defile. He says, the Jews are coming in and we're going to destroy anything. And they're defiled. The Romans take over. They try to kill all the babies. The question is, if you were involved in this, let me just ask you a question. Now I can get deeper and deeper in this, but you'll just be more confused. But the bottom line is, could we love Gentiles if we were Jew and we were going through that? Could we love them? That everything you held sacred was taken away from you? Well, I feel His anointing in here today. Do you see what's going on in America today? Everything held sacred is being taken away, or being attacked, or being felt like it's nothing. How we worship God, how we do, they hadn't quite gone that far yet, but they're headed that way. So what it did, it caused division. Let me give you this little nugget right here. Always keep your eyes on God, because He's your source and He's going to bring you through. Don't allow the defilement of the enemy to cause discord in your heart and separate you from somebody. We live in a culture now where the whites against blacks and blacks against whites and, Hispanics against, where all that come from? It comes from division. Amen? How many of you know that God loves us all? And every one of us, if you cut us, we're all going to bleed red, right? Because none of us are any better than anybody else. Doesn't matter what color you are. That's the way God wanted, but the devil don't like that. He likes discord. He likes division. And he's trying his best. So he attacks the nation of the Jews. And we know why, but I want to ask this question. So the Jews were having a real problem when the Gentiles were converted. You remember Corrie Ten Boom? Anybody ever heard of her? Corrie Ten Boom? In the Holocaust and all that, how she struggled to pray for those soldiers that were doing things against her. And she held on. I mean, they were just doing everything they could to break her. But how many of you know they never broke her? Thank God for the God that we serve. But the animosity of Jews and Gentiles is present because of these things that happened. So we ask the question, how in the world can God allow things like this to happen? And the answer is, there's an evil devil out there who wants to get you off course, who wants to get you sidetracked, who wants to put something. How many people in the world today need Jesus so desperately, but something's been put in their heart that's divided them against Him. And so now there's that animosity there. Amen. And it's all a lie. Amen? Amen? How many of you have ever been hurt in church? Every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us. And how many of you ever had friendships with somebody and something tried to happen within that friendship or whatever? The devil loves division. And Jesus is speaking to this lady as if to say, I don't care about you. But we know He cares about you. But He wanted to show them how the situation was. Mm. All right, if you're totally confused, say amen. All right, good. Nobody said amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now, let's go back to the story. I felt like I had to give you that. Because if you're like me, I read this many times without having the background. I didn't understand it. But now I do. So Jesus goes to Tyre, Sidon, which is totally Gentile. Samaria, there's called the Samaritans. There was a woman, remember the story when the woman was at the well? What was a Samaritan? A Samaritan was a half Jew and a half Gentile. Nobody liked him. There again, division. You remember when Jesus said, I must needs go by Samaria? Yeah. Why? You want to know why? Jesus has always tried to break division. He's always trying. Because the enemy loves division, because that's how he started in the garden. You remember when Nehemiah, Ezra, returned from Babylonian captivity. Jews came back with them. How many of you remember studying about that and realized that at that time some of the Jews had intermarried with Gentile women and there was a mixture of the races? How many of you know that Jesus, the son of David, David had a pure lineage? We had to have a pure lineage so that he had to be born from a virgin. Amen. You're still not confused, right? Amen. So stay with me. The culture is, the story that we read to you, Jesus leaves Israel and he goes to Lebanon. All right, go back to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus leaves Israel and he goes to Lebanon. All right, Jerusalem is Jews, Lebanon is Gentile. Amen. Make me feel good. Are you getting anything out of this? Just say, yeah. I'll think you're getting something out of it. Amen. In studying about Tyre Sidon, it was said, historians have actually called this place the gates of hell because they were so corrupted. It was a corrupted city, and Jesus' ministry goes there. Boy, that's what I love about it. He goes to the center of division. Amen. And as soon as he gets into the city, a woman comes to him who is suffering because of division. And so she cries out to him. This woman hears that Jesus is there. Her daughter is vexed with the devil. And she goes to him and she cries out to him, Jesus, thou son of David. What's that talking about? The lineage. He's of a pure lineage. He has not mixed himself with anybody else other than the God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We serve a pure, honest, real God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not made by man, not created by man, not instituted by man, not subject to man. He's God Almighty. And he stands alone. He stands flat-footed and said, God said, let there be, and there came. Why? Because we serve a real God. Amen. Man can't touch him. Mary was a virgin birth. It was a virgin birth of a pure lineage all the way back to David. Amen. I'm telling you, we serve an awesome God. He's not divided. He's not giving in to the forces of hell. He is the I am. Who shall we say sent us? Tell them I am sent you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to have a fit, y'all. Amen. Amen. If them chandeliers could hold all this, I might would swing. Amen. So, three things against her. First of all, she's a woman from Canaan. She's descended. You ever felt like, let me back up. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting too fast. You ever felt like you had three strikes against you? Well, I've done this in my past, and I was done all this, and I was born here, and I'm this color, and I've got all this going against me. Division, discord. And Jesus came to break it. You can be free. Amen. Amen. I don't know who's ever going to hear this. You know, I think we have it on internet sometimes, but whatever, but I don't know. But whoever hears this, you can be free. Because the one that is free is come to set you free. Right. Amen. Glory to God. So she was Canaanite. Israel was against that. She was living in Lebanon. That was number two. Predominantly Gentile. She was living in the gates of hell. So all her circumstances are wrong. And she's a Gentile. And there's a Jewish Jesus, Messiah. Y'all with me now? Give me just about another hour. We'll finish this. Amen. She's got all this against her. I'm going to have two people with me in an hour from now. Amen. The rest of y'all are going to be gone. Well, if I don't finish, I'll finish because I want you to get this. All right, you got it in your mind now? She's living in the gates of hell. Any of y'all ever felt like that sometime? She's living in the gates of hell. And here's a Jewish Jesus, Messiah. She's heard about it. She's heard about his miracles. She knows he's real. You want to know why she knows he's real? Because she calls him Thou Son of David. Do you remember in the Bible when they called out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me? You remember who that was? Son of David, pure God. You're not just a carpenter's son. You're not just a teacher. You're not just a rabbi. You are the Son of God. Amen. You are Him. And even though she lived in the containment that she lived in, she knew in her heart, that's a real God right there.
That's right.
And you know what? You may not have been there yet, but you come. There'll be times in life you're going to come somewhere, you're going to need a real God. You're going to need a real God to intervene for you. And I want to tell you, He'll be there because He's a real God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Son of David. She calls out to him. This pure lineage. In the Psalms, it talks about David, the lineage of the Messiah. Woman recognizes him as the Son of David. And I'm going to try to touch this before we go. The last thing, the next thing, I'll have to finish it because I don't have time to finish it now. And I want you to get this. Jesus ignores her. And we got to know that there's times we feel like he's done that to us. But let me say this to you. If there ever is that quiet time that you feel like he's not there, he is there. And he's making a way where there is no way. She did not know that he's using this situation to teach. She just knew, I have a need and I'm hurting. How many of you mamas know you're hurt when your baby's hurt? Amen. When they're hurting, it's just like you hurting. And she's hurting. And she knows, can't nobody else help her but him. And so he ignores her. But we have proof that Jesus is the Son of David. Moses was not a Messiah. Elijah was not a Messiah. Elisha was not a Messiah. Hezekiah was not a Messiah. But Jesus was the Messiah. If you'll notice the story, and I'll close with this story. You don't have to look it up, but just write it down if you will, and you can study it this week. You remember in Matthew chapter 12 when Jesus heals a deaf and dumb person? I don't like that term, deaf and dumb, because that's just an old English term that they just couldn't hear. They were handicapped. They couldn't hear. They couldn't hear. They couldn't speak. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 23. Give me a second. Let's read that. I just want you to read it. Just all you got to do is take a left. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 22. Are we there? Say amen. Amen. Then was besought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. How can a deaf and dumb person who can't hear hear Jesus? The Spirit heard. She couldn't hear. All she knew, all they knew is they needed deliverance. But the Spirit speaks expressly. When you don't know what to say, He'll make intercession for you. How many of you know that? Amen. And so that's what's going on here. And look at verse 23. That's the part I want you to get. Verse 23. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" Amen. Is not this the one we've been looking for? Is not this the one that the prophets have talked about? Is not this Jesus commands the demon? Jesus speaks to the demon in that person and is delivered. But the Spirit spoke to the deaf and dumb person and said, "You're going to be free today." Amen. Amen. Sometimes we don't know the words. Sometimes we can't hear the words. Sometimes we don't know the ins and outs of nothing. But the Spirit does. And He'll guide you and direct you and lead you. Is not this of the Son of David? Okay, so we're going to leave right here. We're going to leave this woman hanging for a little while. And we'll come back, talk about her. But I want you to get this. Jesus breaks cultures. And He breaks boundaries. And He breaks any division that's trying to come against your home. Let me tell you something. You mamas and daddies, you know in the middle of the night when God will wake you up and say, "You need to pray for your son, you need to pray for your daughter, you need to pray for this or pray for that." Guess what? Go to praying. And even though you can't hear or don't know what to do, you just keep praying and the Holy Spirit will guide and direct you into what you need to say and what you need to do, because Jesus is going to break division. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that we can walk now into the boldness? Boldly we can enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you, Lord, that it only takes a crumb. It only takes a crumb. And Lord, I believe that a crumb is enough. Lord, we're going to learn about that crumb in just a little while. Because, Lord, you speak to this woman, and first of all, you ignore her. But you're trying to prove a point. Sometimes we feel like we're ignored, but God, I want you to know today, and I thank you that you never, never leave us nor forsake us. We honor you and praise you and give you the glory that you need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Tell somebody you love them before you leave. All right.